Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, without question, the partial government shutdown has been devastating for many reliant on government paychecks or those whose income is linked to the federal government in some way. Families are concerned about food, rent, mortgage payments, car payments, basic daily needs. Tonight, our guests will discuss resources to assist those affected by the partial government shutdown. So if you're in need of help, looking for some direction, our guest tonight will discuss and offer suggestions again on resources that you may tap into. The phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Again, the phone lines are open. In studio tonight is Rosie Allen Herring, President and CEO of United Way National Capital Area. On the phone line with us is Radha Musaya. She's the President and CEO of the Capital Area Food Bank. And joining us a little later, Deborah Chambers, Vice President of Development and Partnerships with the Central Union Mission. Ms. Herring, Ms. Musaya, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Rosie Allen Herring, President and CEO of the United Way National Capital Area. Let's talk about it. It's day 24 of the government shutdown. And the United Way, right off the bat, $50,000 that they're are putting in terms of resources to help those who need help. Talk, first of all, in the United Way and what you have seen, how this is affecting folks just in general.
Sure. And thank you so much for having us on tonight. And Radha is a great partner with us from the Capital Area Food Bank. What you're seeing now in this 24th day is something that really is unprecedented. And while many of our nonprofit partners who are serving families who may find themselves in need every day, with this government shutdown, that's created a new client group that traditionally perhaps would not have availed themselves of the resources that many of our nonprofit partners do. Your United Way is uniquely qualified to try to bring together all of those facets in the community to try to say what are some of the toughest challenges and what solutions can we bring to the table. In this particular instance of dealing with this shutdown, what you're finding is now we're at a point 3 weeks in, now going into the fourth week, that many families are having to make some significant decisions about basic needs, things that we take for granted every day. And so this has now caused us to try to bring some thought leadership to the table, as well as some good partners. So the $50,000 that Your United Way has placed in our emergency fund as we reactivated it was met immediately with the $50,000 match from Pepco Holdings to try to help support food and other housing, you know, needs that are out there. And then, of course, Bank of America has also come in with another contribution of $10,000. So, of course, partners continue to come in. We hope that this ends soon, but if it continues, we'll likely be seeking other partners, and we'll talk a little bit more about how your listeners can help their neighbors in need as well.
Radha Musaya, you're President and CEO of the Capital Area Food Bank. One of the basic needs out there is food, and we have seen on the news, and you can go to the WHUR Facebook, where we see where folks were coming out, federal workers, those tied to the federal government, and receiving some free food to supplement, you know, what they cannot get. Can you talk a little bit about this basic need of food and what the food bank is seeing during this shutdown?
Sure. Thank you so much for having us. And Rosie, a pleasure to be on with you. And thank you for the leadership that United Way has shown in this particular, in this instance. What we have seen over the last couple of weeks has been an increase in the number of individuals who've been calling in to our Hunger Lifeline. It's a phone number where people can call in to be able to understand what are food pantries that are closest to them and, you know, what are their hours and do they qualify to get food. So we've been hearing through that hotline. We've also been hearing from our 450 partners that comprise the Food Bank Network that they've seen additional individuals come in to their sites to inquire and to seek assistance and food assistance in particular. So based on this information, we knew that there was a need, a growing need out there. And what we did was instituted five different free distributions, pop-up markets on Saturday this past weekend in areas where we knew there was a high concentration of federal workers. So we looked at the distribution of federal workers in our area, that constitutes all of Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, and Prince George's and Montgomery County. And we identified five spots that we wanted to test this approach of setting up free distribution. Our intent was to have to be able to serve up to 250 people at each of these five sites, so a total of about 1,250 people. What we ended up seeing was over 2,400 people in just a couple hour time frame this Saturday. So the magnitude of the need is certainly there, and people were in need for additional food assistance.
And is this response and what's happening with the shutdown, is this sort of unique for the Capital Area Food Bank? And if so, did your response have to cater to that sort of unique situation? Or is this something that, you know, the Capital Food Bank is sort of used to dealing with?
No, it's certainly not something we're used to dealing with. You know, we planned for the year in anticipation of the number of traditional clients, if you will, who we serve, those who are primarily living at or around the poverty line, most of whom are recipients of food stamps. So that's who we traditionally support during the course of the year. To give you an example of the numbers, on a typical January, we would be providing about 3 million meals to our traditional clientele. Because of this additional need through a very different target population, those who are typically working but are lower income federal workers for the most part, who are living paycheck to paycheck. So they typically would have been able to independently take care of their food needs. But of course, after having missed a paycheck and with some uncertainty around when the next paycheck is going to come, they were the target audience for us this time around. So it's unique from both perspectives, that it's a new audience who we don't typically serve. And second, this is, we're anticipating up to 600,000 additional meals that will need to be served this month to this group. Hmm. So it is by no means sort of our typical, typical January.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about the government shutdown, but in particular, if you are in need, if you need some help, where can you go to get that assistance? Tonight, our guests are here to help with that. In studio with us is Rosie Allen Herring, President and CEO of United Way National Capital Area. On the phone line with us, Radha Musaya, President and CEO of Capital Area Food Bank. Again, the phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Rosie Allen Herring, we were talking before we came on, and I told you, one of my first experiences with seeing the United Way was watching football games when I was young and seeing United Way tied to the NFL. But we also know that United Way deals with homelessness in a very large way. But this time you're dealing with people who are asking for assistance maybe for the first time. How do you handle that, and folks who, for many of them, this is a wake-up call that they have to reach out for help?
Absolutely. You're right. United Way is a storied brand. It's been around for 130 years. And here in the Washington metropolitan area, we've been here for about 45 years. And what we're seeing now is really is unprecedented. Now we've gone from, the United Way that everyone knew, as we have transformed over the years, to be more of a community impact organization and not just a pass-through. And because of that, we believe that we've been able to be what we call ourselves the three C's: the convener, the collaborator, and a catalyst, meaning that we want to bring everyone together. We bring the corporate community together. We bring the nonprofit community together. We collaborate because we do absolutely nothing alone. We believe that our role is to bring catalytic thought leadership to some of the toughest challenges facing our region, and that's what we've been able to do. I work with a phenomenal group of professionals who allow me to serve every day. So, but when we think about what's happening now, what we're seeing is many of our donors are now becoming individuals of need, because we have such a large partnership with the federal government as a part of what we call the combined federal campaign, where many of your average everyday government workers have decided that they want to support their community by being a donor through payroll deductions or the like. And so now those same individuals who had previously been our donors now may be, you know, our clients in terms of what they need. So that's where the tables have turned. That's where this is unprecedented. And as it continues, we'll see that it's only going to get exacerbated.
Radia Musaya, what can individuals do to help during this shutdown? Say for those who are not federal workers, or say you're a federal government worker, but you're still working, or you work in private industry and it's not affecting you. What can you say to those out there in terms of how they can help those who are in need or help your organization?
Sure. There are a couple of different ways, actually, that people can help. To give you an example, last week, in preparation for these five free distributions that we had to call on volunteers to come help pack 30,000 pounds of produce. So we get this in bulk, and it needs to be separated and packed into small 10-pound bags. And so we had put out a call for volunteers Wednesday evening, and by Friday we had, you know, close to 100 additional volunteers just for the special distribution. Given the numbers that I talked about last weekend in terms of what we anticipated and the number of individuals who actually came for the distributions, we know we're likely to have to triple our distribution this coming weekend. So certainly coming to volunteer, and people can go and sign up at capitalareafoodbank.org and the volunteer button, that will be of immense help as we look this weekend to pack, you know, something like 60 to 80,000 pounds of produce. The other way, of course, is, as Rosie had mentioned earlier, you know, this is not something any of us had anticipated. Certainly the duration is going on for quite some time in terms of the partial shutdown. So being able to provide resources to organizations like ours or United Way, and to be able to provide that so that we can in turn provide basic services to our neighbors in the community in need would be very helpful indeed.
Tonight we are talking about the government shutdown and how it is affecting those who are now in need. Just this past week, the first paycheck for government workers who were expecting it did not come. And we do know if you have to pay your mortgage, depending on the bank that you're dealing with or the mortgage company, you may get a small break, but it may not last that long. Tonight, our guests are here to give us some information on resources that you can use if you need it and you need help. Rosie Allen Herring, President and CEO of the United Way National Capital Area, and Radia Musaya, President and CEO of Capital Area Food Bank. Rosie, you wanted to follow up?
Yes, Radia had shared how, you know, again, there's something that everyone can do. Certainly with our partners, you have an opportunity to be able to come to the table and be good corporate citizens to support this work. We are working with not only Radia at Capital Area Food Bank and her team, who are phenomenal. We're also working with Catholic Charities, and we're working with Northern Virginia Family Service. As she shared, we cover the entire region, so it's not any one particular area. There are over 5 million individuals that we want to make certain that they're okay. But we also want your listeners to know that if they choose to want to support their neighbors in need, the same way they can go to Capital Area Food Bank's website and hit volunteer, they can also go to your United Way, unitedwayNCA.org/support. And they can also make contributions that will help us continue to support the work that Radia and her colleagues are doing every day.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you are in need of resources, help, guidance, direction on what to do during this government shutdown, if it is impacting you, your family, friends, coworkers, now is the time to give us a call. The experts are here to help you with some information, pass that along, maybe give you a little guidance that you hadn't thought of before. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Radia Musaya of the National Capital Area Food Bank. I had mentioned in our news segment that Chef Jose Andres is opening up a temporary kitchen in D.C. to feed furloughed workers. Is that unusual, or is that the kind of thing that you guys hope, I guess you do hope to see that, but talk a little bit about that. Is that what we see with the private company stepping in to help the public and the community that you look for with the Capital Area Food Bank?
I think, there's so many different ways that all of us in the community can support. Our corporate-private partners have a really important role to play. We were so pleased to see Pepco match what United Way had put on the table, and I think there are several other companies who we're thankful for have supported our efforts at the food bank. I think it's important to be able to support organizations that have been in the community for some time, that have the trust, have the infrastructure across the community to be able to support those in need. This shutdown is certainly going on for several weeks now as it enters its fourth week. We do need a variety of different actors to be able to support those in need. This area, we have a total of 362,000 federal government workers. So certainly it's not a small number, it's a large one. And so it's great to see a variety of different organizations doing what they can and in their areas of expertise to support those in need.
Rosie Allen Herring, she's the president and CEO of the United Way National Capital Area Region. She is going to stay with us. We thank Radha Musaya, president and CEO of the Capital Area Food Bank. We are going to continue this conversation. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We will talk about financial counseling that you can get. Also, information on housing, United Way will offer that. We're going to get into that on the other side. So if you're on the phones, hang on. If you're not, make sure you give us a call. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Again, we thank Radha Musaya, president and CEO of the Capital Area Food Bank. The original Quiet Storm with Stretch, in for Jeff Brown, is next on 96.3 WHUR. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Tonight, we are talking about resources that are out there for you in the community during the partial government shutdown if you are being affected by it, if you're trying to pay your bills, if you're trying to feed your family, if you are having financial issues, issues with housing. There are resources out there to help you. And tonight, we are here to give you information on those resources, and the experts and those who can help guide you are here to help us further the conversation. In studio with us is Rosie Allen Herring. She's the president and CEO of the United Way National Capital Area. On the phone line with us is Deborah Chambers. She is the vice president of development and partnerships with the Central Union Mission. Again, the phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. How is the partial government shutdown affecting you? Are you looking for help? Resources, websites, anything that you will need to help you? We're trying to do that tonight. And so let's go to those phone lines if we can. Let's go to Mike calling from Bowie. Go right ahead, Mike, with your question or comment. Mike.
We'll help you out with providing you with resources for the first pay period. And let's say they get to the point they do it maybe twice, and then they figure that no longer we can assist you. What recourse do you have as a homeowner to continue to have your mortgage paid?
Well, that's a heavy question, Rosie Allen Herring. He's saying, what happens if they say there's not a whole lot we can do, we need the payment? Where can folks go?
I think it's a couple of different things, and I spent 21 years working at Fannie Mae, so mortgages, I grew up on them. But what I would say to your caller is, one, make certain that you're having the right conversation sooner, quicker, faster with your mortgage company. Don't wait until you've missed a payment or the payment is imminent that then you say, I'm having this challenge. So make certain that for all of your creditors, not just your mortgage, any consumer lending, that you're able to reach out to that creditor, share that you're impacted by this furlough, that it appears to be continuing, and it's going to impact your ability to be able to take care of that obligation. Most of them, of course, there's no one who hasn't heard of the furlough who understands that it's there. Many of the mortgage companies, especially those that are mainstream, perhaps some of the larger ones, recognize that these calls are coming, and they've made themselves available to try to work with their particular customers. And so I would say to your donor to try that first. Then I would say reach out to some of the resources. One of the things that your United Way is doing, in addition to the Emergency Assistance Fund that we're working with partners, we have our Financial Empowerment Centers. About 4 years ago, we started this journey of opening, at least the commitment was for 5 financial empowerment centers. We have 4, one in Prince George's County, Prince William County, Fairfax County, and the District of Columbia. And in those financial empowerment centers, any of your listeners can go and literally get one-on-one personalized counseling to help you understand what you can do for your particular situation. We know it's not a one-stop shop where everybody gets, you know, the same type of service, but they can go in there and every service is free. There is nothing you have to pay for, and each one is customized just for that family that comes in.
Do you have to prove that you are going through
Absolutely
a hardship?
Not.
You just walk in the door.
Walk in the door. Your United Way is here to serve our community writ large, and we do this every single day with partners like Capital Area Food Bank and, of course, even for Deb Chambers and Central Union Mission every day. The Financial Empowerment Center is our way of looking at economic independence and looking at that as a stability factor that really and truly takes on all of the other needs that are generally there. If we are understanding how to stabilize our families, you'll find that a lot of the needs that are coming and a lot of the challenges that we're having sometimes can be avoided.
Mike, thank you so much for your call and best of luck with everything that you're dealing with. Deborah Chambers, Vice President of Development and Partnerships with the Central Union Mission. Talk to us, if you can, about what the mission is doing and helping furloughed employees or those just in general in need during this time.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. Central Union Mission, every day of the year, seeks to help people in need. And one of the operations that we have is a family ministry center that's off of Bladensburg Road in the district. And through that location, we provide food and clothing for families that are living at or below the poverty level every day of the week. And we serve about 4,500 individuals a month there. What we've done now is to open up those services to furloughed families, as well as to those individuals that may be a government contract worker who as well is not getting a paycheck. They're able to come to the center and receive groceries and clothing and the services that we offer free of charge.
Rosie Allen Herring, we've got statistics from 2017, right? 100 and almost 48,000 federal workers in Maryland, 200,000 in D.C., almost 180,000 in Virginia. And we can kind of break that down to regions. I think 38% or 27% from Montgomery County, 35% from Prince George's County. Most of these folks are middle income people, right? Mm-hmm. One paycheck away from being on the outs. And so, though these are not the only federal government workers, just in terms of context, that's a lot just for this region. Can the United Way or other nonprofit organizations become overwhelmed when you have a partial shutdown and you have numbers like that just in the capital region?
Absolutely. But again, you know, the Washington metropolitan area has been known as the seat of power in terms of government. And what we find in situations like this, there is general need. Don't get me wrong. And Deb Chambers and her team over at Central Union Mission, just like Rada and her team at Capital Area Food Bank, deal with those challenges each and every day. What we're talking about now is an unprecedented time where those needs are now exacerbated, not only by the families that find themselves in a bit of a challenge, but now a new crop of families that traditionally would not have been here. So when you look at that 148,000 or so that we talk about being impacted out of 300,000 in this region, it's really exponentially so much more than that. Because in addition to, we've been hearing on the news the past week, the 800,000 federal employees. It's now become almost an enigma. You know, you say the 800,000, you think it's one person, but these are 800,000 families. In addition to that, there are the federal contractors. And many of us think that, oh, they'll be made whole too. It's the larger ones. But there are a lot of small, 8A disadvantaged businesses that have contracts with the federal government that won't be made whole. It's the person who has the printing contract with a government organization or government agency that is closed. It's the person that has the janitorial contract. And what about their employees who've now gone 3 weeks without their pay? And so when you think about 3 weeks at an average of about $500, $600 a week for a janitor, That's $1,500 now going into the fourth week. That family is making some significant decisions about what they can do. And what, you know, Deborah and her team does at Central Union Mission and talking about the Family Center, this is a resource for people to come in. And now they're going to likely be seeing more people than traditionally they would have anyway. But it's so much larger than the 800,000 federal workers. It's so much larger than the 300,000 in this region. It's all of the other second tier and third tier links to those federal government agencies as well.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight, our conversation is about the resources that are out there for those who are affected by the government shutdown. In studio with us tonight is Rosie Allen Herring, President and CEO of the United Way National Capital Area. And on the phone line with us, Deborah Chambers, Vice President of Development and Partnerships with the Central Union Mission. Again, the phone lines are open. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Deborah, can you share with us any type of stories that you are hearing from either individuals or families during this day 24 now, that's over 3 weeks of the government shutdown?
Absolutely. Someone mentioned earlier that some of our supporters are now becoming some of our program participants. We had a vendor who donates to us, but he's partially funded through a federal grant, through a federal government contract. Mm-hmm. And that contract has been shut off, and so he's had to release the people that work for him. And as Rosie mentioned, those second, third, and fourth tier people are the ones that are hardest hit. As well, they're the ones that are least likely to be able to take a hit. And so we have some families that are working in the food services industry that were sent to us specifically so that they could receive food. But that doesn't help them with their major bills. It doesn't help them with, you know, their medical choices or their rent and those things. We're not able to provide that support. And so it's really critical that, you know, something happens to end this shutdown or else, well, you know, these people are going to be on the streets. And that's the reality, that we're hoping that by helping provide the items that we're able to provide, that we will help people be able to stay off of that ultimate reality if things don't change.
Ms. Herring, can you share any stories that has come your way during this time here via the United Way?
Sure. We have seen, just as Deb has shared, so many of our donors who, again, as I talked about, being a lot of the federal government and workers who participated in the combined federal campaign, are now finding themselves in need. In Prince William County, which is where we have one of our financial empowerment centers, they have already told us of the uptick of individuals who've come in for services who have identified themselves as federal government workers. And again, that's fascinating to us because it didn't take long for it to happen. Prince William is known as a community county coming into the District of Columbia every day for the government contracts. And what we are finding is the need is totally growing. There's some that are going to be significant in terms of what they need. And again, it's not just the food and those kinds of basic needs. It's really going to exacerbate and get to making the choices between medicine and food, making the choice between, do I pay my car payment or not? Do I pay my rent or my mortgage or not? What about my credit card bills and the like? There are significant decisions that people are struggling with literally right now.
And we're talking about life sort of for many folks, threatening issues. And we often know this, people living paycheck to paycheck. Anyway, you're making decisions about what medicines that you buy or you get, and you're really going to get that now. I want to make sure, and I'm going to do this at two different times, because we know some of the listeners, even those who aren't calling in, are looking for where do I go to get this information. So I probably want to double up on this. And so if we can, first with you, Deborah Chambers, if folks want to go to a website or a phone call, where can they go to get information on Central Union Mission and maybe to seek out help from the mission?
They can go to missiondc.org and just scroll down to the box on the left, and you'll see information about furlough. And then they can also call us at 202-745-7118, extension 500.
And Rosie Allen Herring with the United Way, I know you've talked about that on the other side, but if you can repeat where folks can go to get information.
Sure. You can go to unitedwayNCA.org/support. And on that part of the website, you'll be able to see all of the services that are available. Those particular partners with us on the Emergency Assistance Fund, like Capital Area Food Bank, Catholic Charities, Northern Virginia Family Service. But you'll also get a list of the addresses and the hours of all of our financial empowerment centers, where they're located, and how you can go and access those services as well.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The phone lines are still open. Tonight, we're talking about the resources that are out there for you if you need to tap into them during the partial government shutdown, which is in day 24 today. We have folks in studio and on the phone lines who are here to help you, to give you the information that you may need if you need help. Again, our conversation will continue. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll be right back on the Insight segment here on HUR Voices and SiriusXM Channel 141. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Well, the partial government shutdown obviously is dominating so much of the news today. And it should, because it has an effect, especially here in the DMV. We talked a little earlier about the numbers just in Maryland, Virginia, and Washington, D.C., the amount of federal workers that are in the area, over 200,000 in D.C., nearly 180,000 in Virginia, almost 150,000 in Maryland. And many of those are being affected by the government shutdown. What can they do, or what can you do, even if you don't work for the federal government, are you being affected, to get help? And that's what our guests are doing tonight, and that's what our conversation is about. In studio with us is Rosie Allen Herring. She's the president and CEO of the United Way National Capital Area. And Deborah Chambers is the vice president of development and partnerships with the Central Union Mission, and she is on the phone line with us. Those phone lines are open. If you'd like to give us a call, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Deborah Chambers, tell us how folks can help you with the Central Union Mission, because we know that you cannot do it alone and that you need help from the outside. How can folks assist the Central Union Mission?
Absolutely. Well, we are always in need of funding. We are privately funded. We don't receive federal funds or district funds. And so people can help us by making a donation on our website at missiondc.org. That's one of the best ways to really help us help the community during this time. As well, we're always in need of volunteers. We do accept volunteers every day of the week, and that's also available on the website at missiondc.org.
Rosie Allen Herring, president and CEO of the United Way National Capital Area. You all have a lot of programs out there for folks if they need help. And we talked about financial counseling, but there is more out there just than that. If you walk into a United Way Center or a financial resource center, tell us and the listeners what is out there for them if they need the help.
Sure. With our financial empowerment centers, as I said at the top of the hour, it's a commitment. It's part of the $12.3 million commitment that we've made to this community to try to invest that over the next over 5 years. We're in year four of that commitment, and we've more than met that at this point. But part of that was the financial empowerment centers. What we found with when it came to economic development issues, financial stability was the biggest cause of many families being unstable that then had the reverberating effect of them needing certain services. With the four centers that we have now across the region, and a fifth one to come probably in another 12 months, there where you can walk in literally for no fee whatsoever, it is all free. There is one-on-one financial coaching, there is budgeting support, personal and business workshops, tax preparation, housing counseling. It literally runs the gamut. But what I love about these centers is it's for every person that comes in. You get a specialized, tailored look at what you may need. So it's not cookie cutter. Not all, you know, everyone fits in the same boat. It really is an opportunity for you to talk about what you want to do, how you want to progress for your family, and what your particular needs are. So the financial empowerment centers are there. They're working extremely well. It's been really in partnership with so many of our local partners that have allowed us to do this work, SunTrust Banking and SunTrust Foundation, TD Bank and the TD Bank Foundation, Citibank and the Citibank Foundation have been partners with us now. We're going into our fourth year on these financial empowerment centers.
And an important point here, it's free.
It's free.
Right. There are no sort of stipulations.
Absolutely not. And what we try to do also, once we find out what you particularly need, then we try to connect you to those resources, such as those that are offered by the Central Union Mission, those that are offered by Catholic Charities, those who are on the ground serving families every day, but the average everyday citizen may not know how to connect to those services. We make that connection for you. We ensure that all of your listeners who may decide to go into one of the financial empowerment centers has the opportunity to really and truly get some one-on-one. This is not something where you just come in and pick up a brochure. It's going to be a human body that's going to sit with you and make certain that you have what you need, and it's going to go on that journey with you. What we found is many of our clients who come into the centers are on a journey with us that goes for months, sometimes even 12 to 18 months. So we really do want to make certain we see you through to whatever your goal is.
Deborah Chambers, speaking of that journey, do you find or do you see that there is some inhibition of those? Maybe let's think of the stereotype, right? It's the homeless folks who will go to the Central Mission, the people who are poor who will go to the Central Mission. Do you find that those, say, middle-class folks who are having a tough time, it may be difficult for them to come to the Central a Union Mission to seek help? Are you seeing that? And if so, how do you help them overcome that inhibition?
Well, I guess that varies from individual to individual. People have a certain amount of pride, but I think that in times like this, when you have such an outreach from the community, it just becomes more acceptable that we are in a tough time and people are reaching out to try to offer help and support. I think that makes it easier. I think that sense of community makes people know that it's okay, it's safe. One of the things that we try to do with everyone is to treat the people that come to us with dignity and respect. Everybody deserves that, whether you're living on the street or you have a home. And it can be difficult to ask for help. That's one of the challenges that a lot of people have. They hate to ask for help. And so we try to meet them with dignity and respect so that that eases that burden of having to ask somebody for help.
Does it help in a way that the government shutdown, in a strange way, is kind of unifying, right? That mm-hmm. even though there's sort of a political aspect to it, but you've got government workers who are Republicans, Democrats, independents, maybe they're socialists. So if you've got people coming in affected by the government shutdown, it's kind of an all for one. Is that too much of a blanket statement? Or does that sort of help in a way to ease that inhibition, right? That there are so many people possibly in the area who are sort of walking that same walk?
Yeah, I think it does. You know, it's one of the things that we find when there is an economic turndown other than something like a shutdown. We find that people unify. They rally around a cause. We know we love to help the underdog. Mm. And you have people, like you said, at the top of the hour, Mr. Andreas opening his food places. And just the whole community reaching out. We're in this together. And we can't control what the government does necessarily, but we can control our response. And I think that's encouraging to those furloughed families. I know I have a friend that felt that, that shared that even though it's an ambivalent time and they're unsure of what the future holds, they do feel like they have resources in the community to help them when they need it.
Rosie Allen Herring, we were talking a little bit off the air, and we know that, listen, when you're going through a rough financial time, or there's a certain unease, maybe mm-hmm. you have a little savings, but you don't know because the president has said, hey, listen, this thing can go into February. And now you're thinking, wait a minute, how does this affect my IRA, my retirement with the federal government? And so there can be an effect on your psyche, a psychological effect, right? And so organizations like yours and Deborah Chambers, you even have to deal with that. Can you speak to that a little bit about how you handle that?
Well, it is very real. And Deb and her team have done a phenomenal job of helping individuals who are really and truly on that journey. When you think about families, especially those that may not have found themselves in need prior to the furlough, but finding themselves now instantly in significant need so quickly when they're used to just living paycheck to paycheck, there is a level of consistency and comfort that comes with that, even though, you know, no one wants to live paycheck to paycheck. And now to have that stripped away, there is this sort of kind of the intangible that we're not talking about. We're trying to offer the services that meet the need that's here and now. But there is a long-term effect of this as well, because if something really goes wrong, that won't be able to be made right when the shutdown is over, there are the effects of that are going to be felt for quite some time. And sometimes we don't talk about the psychological impact of what these crises mean. These crises are having effect on families in terms of, you know, whether or not they believe that they can actually survive this, whether or not they believe that their spouse is going to be able to get another job, whether or not they can compete for it, whether or not the support is going to last long enough. It is significant, and we haven't talked about it, but there's quite a bit of effort that is going on to deal with the mental challenges that will come as a result of this, because now where's the trust that it won't happen again? How are we going to now deal with our finances going forward? Because now I may not feel very charitable if I think as a government worker I would not be able to support someone going forward, because now I better hold on to it because it's so unstable right now.
Well, if folks still want to do to help, or they still need help, I'd like for you and Deborah Chambers to let the folks out there know where they can go for help in your organizations. And Rosie Allen Herring, please go first if you can.
Sure. We want all of your listeners to go to United Way NCA for National Capital Area .org/support. And you can find all of the information that we've discussed with you tonight. And we just want to thank your donors, and we want to thank your listeners who have been partners with us for quite some time. And I want to thank Ms. Chambers and her team at Central Union Mission as well.
And Deborah Chambers, if you can share information about the Central Union Mission and where folks can find out information about it.
They can go to the website at missiondc.org or call 202-745-7118, extension 500.
And can you tell folks exactly where the Central Union Mission is a physical location?
Yes, at 3194B Bladensburg Road, Northeast. They can go to that location Monday through Thursday between 2:30 and 4.
She is Deborah Chambers, the Vice President of Development and Partnerships with the Central Union Mission. Rosie Allen Herring in studio with us, President and CEO of the United Way National Capital Area Region. I don't need the region, but we'll add the region anyway. And earlier tonight, also on the phone lines with us was Radha Musaya, President and CEO of the Capital Area Food Bank. We thank you all for your expertise, your guidance, and very, very important information. That's the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, January 14th. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher.